The Shaila from the Mishpat Shlomo. He has a Shaila like this. This is a nice in Eretz Yisrael, and I'll say a case that we'd have in America, a similar case. There is a Eretz Yisrael, there were two buildings, and there were 8 meters between them, 16 feet between them. And they decided they wanted each building in addition on the space that's between them. And the assumption the borderline went down the middle. So they got a permit that each one could build 4 meters addition on his building. So the first building hired a contractor, and he built his addition. But when it was finished, they noticed that they had encroached 1 meter onto the other person's property. They had gone 5 meters in instead of 4 meters in. So the other building held that they had to knock down the addition because you took away our property. We had 4 meters, and you built it onto this into our property. We want you to knock it down. If you want, you could just knock down that one extra amma that's over the line, but that'll probably ruin the whole thing. So that's what they kind of. And the other one says, "Come on, I'll pay you for it. How much is your little sliver of land worth? We'll pay you for it. Don't make us knock down the whole building." We don't have that in America because we have setbacks. But a similar case in America would be a setback means that you can't build up to the border. You have to be 20 feet away from the border, 25 feet away from the back border.
Huh?
Not
in New York.
Okay, maybe it applies to New York. But I'm saying even in Baltimore. Let's say we're in Baltimore. So even in Baltimore, it'll be no gay if you build a fence. Right? You built a fence. And you thought it's along the border, and then someone does a survey one year, and they find out that your fence is a foot over the boundary. And the next door neighbor says they want you to take down the fence and move it back over. And you say, "Look, I'll pay you for whatever that little sliver of land is worth. Let me pay you." And he says, "No, I want my land back." So what's the halacha in that case? That's a nice topic. We're going to continue a sugya we started last week, and continue with the Gemara and find out that there's something called takonis marish. Right, last week we learned there is a takanas l'shavim. We want to encourage people to do tshuva, and we said under certain conditions that if the conditions we said that if he was a gozlan for many years, most of his stuff is stolen, and the property itself isn't here anymore, and he's doing it on his own. He's doing tshuva on his own. Right, he didn't get caught. So in those three conditions, even though a person should have to pay back everything he stole, we say that anyone that takes a return from such a person, he did a wrong thing, because we made a takana that if someone is doing tshuva and he had stolen for many years and now he wants to do tshuva, if we don't allow him to just do tshuva clean without having to pay back everything, it will be like that maisa we had that he had told his wife he's going to do tshuva, and his wife said, "You're not going to even be left with a belt on your pants." So then he's changed his mind in doing tshuva. So he said there's a takana sashavim. The Chacham made a takana that someone who's doing tshuva doesn't have to return the items that he stole. And the Gemara said that's only talking where the item is no longer there. So let's pick up the Gemara on Sadi Heyomid Aleph and Baba Kama. The mamish the next words of the Gemara. Frek the Gemara. Tochalhecha digzela kayemes la'avir rabbana takanta. Are you saying whenever this stolen item is around, the chachamim did not make a takana? V'hairei marish. We have a case of a crossbeam. That's an expensive piece of wood. Digzela kayemesi. In a case where someone stole a crossbeam, he went to some place where they're doing contracting work, and he saw a wonderful beam. He took it for his own building, and he built a house with it. We went in a Mishnah and Gittin Al Hamarish Hagalzal Shevino Bivira Yochanan Ben Gudgada made a takana. He said that if there's a stolen crossbeam that a person built into his house, Sheyitel Damav. He doesn't have to, normally if the item's around, you have to give that item back that you stole. But over here, to give that item back, you have to knock down his whole house. The Chacham made a takana that in that case, he just pays back the value of the crossbeam, the Nei Takana Sashavim, to help people do tshuva. So back to Gemara, we see that even when the item is still here, we don't force him to give that item back. We want to encourage people to do tshuva of their, from their stealing ways, and to help encourage someone, we say, even though you have that beam in your house and you're looking up at that beam all the time, we still do make a takana that you don't have to return it. So how can you say there's no takana when the item's around? So, and for the Gemara, shiny hosam is different there. The kemedik of seder de bira. Since there's going to be he's going to have to ruin his whole mansion to get out that crossbeam. Shavua rabbanan kedalesa the chachamim. Consider it as if it's not here, and therefore the takana applies. Now this takana is different than last week's takana, because in this week's takana Rashi explains last week's takana was he didn't have to pay a cent. This week's takana is that he doesn't have to give back the item himself itself. Instead, he can give back the value. Why is that? Now, Yeshua explains that. I have on the handout over here. Even though there is a takana sashalim, which should make you completely potter, assuming that he was a constant ganav and he's doing tshuva. But over here, the Gemara says, it's as if it's not here, since it's a big loss. But Lamaisa, it is here. The crossbeam is here. So it's enough to make a takana to save him from having to knock down his whole building, his whole house, in order to give back the crossbeam. Here the takana is that he pays back the value of the crossbeam instead of knocking down the house and giving back the beam itself. That's called takanas marish. And that's halacha psuka. We pass in that way in sukkah, the gemara in sukkah. I have at the beginning of the sukkah, the gemara there in lamed aleph, lamed aleph. Amar ravina haikshura dimitalosa degzula. If someone has a beam in a sukkah, and that beam was stolen, of the rabbanan takanta, the chacham made a takana, that the sukkah is kosher, he doesn't have to knock down the sukkah to give back that beam during the 7 days of sukkah. This is included in the takana of stolen crossbeams. Right, that's how halacha l'maisa we paskin that there's a takana smarish. Now, based on this Gemara, right, so we said in the beginning, you know, what's the shaila? You know, the person's in his property. He's in his property, and he's stealing. So, of course, you have to knock down the building, and what's the shaila? So the shaila is, just like we say, if someone stole a crossbeam, we don't force him to knock down his building to return the crossbeam. We say it's okay, just pay the value of the crossbeam that you stole, and that's good enough. So same thing we could say over here. Don't force him to knock down his building to give back that piece of land that he stole, those few inches of land that he went over the border. Don't force him to knock down his building for that. Let him pay for those few inches that he stole. Now, once again, if he built the whole building over there, so the assumption is that it won't be a shiloh. You know, to pay for that real estate could be not worth it. But we're talking, when he wants to pay $1,000 to save his whole building, $5,000 to save his building, to pay for that real estate, let's make the same takana. That should be takana's marsh. We don't force him to knock down his building. In a case where he just stole the crossbeam, to give back that crossbeam, he can pay for it instead. So same thing we should say. We don't force him to knock down his building to give back the land that he stole. Let him pay for the land. It's Hakonis Marish. That's what we should say. Right? So that's why we have a shir tonight. Because we should say Takanas Marish, that's the title of the Shia, Takanas Marish, when it applies and when it doesn't apply. And now you say, so then what's the Shaila? Let's say Pashit, we have Takanas Marish. We have a takana that if someone steals a beam, he doesn't have to give back the beam and by knocking down his building. Same thing, he stole land. He doesn't have to give back the land by knocking down his building. It should be the end of the shiur that he can keep it. However, the svaras you're saying are very good. The Rabbeinu Yerucham quotes Gaonim, and he says that the takanas marish only applies where someone stole a movable item like a beam. But if he stole karka, he stole real estate, then the takana doesn't apply, and we force someone to knock down his building, even though it's going to be a very expensive affair. The Lashon Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Beis Yosef brings it, is Masi Gavul. If someone went over the border, Ubona Hakosa B'Shal Chaveiro, and he built a wall on his friend's property, V'hichnis Me'akarka V'Tok Shalo, and some of the land he put into his property, he took it for himself, Ubona Al Oso, Kosev and Yonim Gedolim, and on that wall that he built on the over the border, he put big buildings, 10-floor buildings on top of it. Chayev Lister Hakol, he has to knock down the entire structure. Shelo Oser Takana Sashavim VeKarka, because they didn't make any takana when he still karka. V'chein Kosev Gaonim VeTshuva, that's what the Gaonim wrote in a tshuva. Now, why should there be a difference? Why should there be a difference between karka and a beam? So the Sma says, this is the Rama Pasim, this is in Simin Shin Samach, Sif Aleph. He says, Mamish, these words of the Rabbeinu Yerucham, Gol Tal Karka, Uvano Allah, Binyanim Gedolim, and someone stole land, and he built big buildings on top. Sarech, Lister HaKol, he has to knock down everything. Ulhashib Karka, Levayim, to return the land to the owners. They didn't make a talkona for Bi'abu the Tshuva that they stole land. But that's what the Rabbeinu Yerucham said.
Now,
but he stole a beam there. He didn't steal land. That's what we're saying. As it is, if you stole a beam, there we made the talkona that you can save your structure and to pay for the beam. But if you stole land, then you can't say, well, I'm not going to knock down my building. You stole land, then you have to give back the land, even though it means knocking down your building. That's the chiluk that Rabbeinu Yerucham says, which is very nogeya to us over here. It's mamash our case. Now, what's the svara for it? And that's going to be very nogeya. The Sma says, look, it's a very couple of thing. Everyone knows that this land belongs next door. You should have been careful. You know, you're building. You should be very careful before you build over there. And that's why we make such a takana. But if it's a movable object, you know, a beam, who says it's his beam? Maybe someone else's beam. So in that case, the Sma says that's where the takana applies. The Shai Mishra said that doesn't make one bit of sense. You can't even say the words. I said the words, but the words, I couldn't explain them. Because what do you mean? We're not talking, if we're talking where you bought, that if you bought a beam and you found out it was stolen, you put it into your structure, so that's where you could say such a svara. You don't know the beam was stolen, you put it, but the takanas marish applies even if the ganav went into that pile of wood and he knows he's stealing something that's not his and he puts it purposely and builds a building on it, still you make a takana even though he knew good and well that it was stolen. So what's the difference whether it's land where he knows, okay, he knows it's stolen, but even by the beam he could be a case where he knows it's stolen. Why should there be a chilek? So the Shari Mishma says the real pshat in the chilek between the karka and the metalkalin, between movable objects and real estate, is like the Levush says. The Levush said, this is what someone said over here, that why did they make a takana? They made a takana because if you don't help people do tshuva to return the things they stole, they'll just keep it forever. No one will ever discover it. You know, the beam is up there in the house. They could paint it and put pictures on it. No one will ever see it. And unless we have some incentive for him to do tshuva by saying, look, if you do tshuva, you don't have to knock down your building. So he's not going to do tshuva. He's going to keep it. But with land, he's always nervous. You know, it could be that one day they're going to find out that I really encroached that extra amma next door. So in that case, where he's always going to be a little bit nervous, was I really on the line? Did I go over a little bit? So there he's going to do tshuva on his own. We don't need a takana. So that's the way the Shai Mishpat explains, based on the Levush, why there's a difference between whether the person has stolen real estate or stolen a movable property. Just wanted to mention the Rashba. They don't bring the Rashba for some reason, but the Rashba and the tshuva says a completely different reason. The Rashba says, this lashon is, Ot will be the inside, Ot Sha'alta, you ask the Masi Gavul, someone who encroached over the border, Uvana Kosel V'chatzah Chareiro, and he built a wall in the land of his friend. V'ichnitza Karka B'sof Shalo Ka'ama, he did one Amma, 18 inches, 24 inches, whatever you hold on Amma, he put inches, he stole inches of the property next door. Uvana Aloso Kosel by his Godel, and on top of that wall he built a big house. Shesamachla, which he was leaning on top of that wall, and to remove that wall would mean to destroy the whole house. And the owner of the yard now wants to knock down the building so he can get back his amma. Should we consider this as part of the takonas marish? That just like we said, we don't make him knock down his building to return the crossbeam. We also shouldn't make him knock down his building to return the karka. Oh, lower, do we say there's a difference? So in that, the Rashba answers, tshuva, lo also takonas hashav and rak mimetaltalin. This takon applies only to movable objects. Of a karka, lo, but not by karka. Why? Havakarka lo amru shayim karze ashalo. By karka, they didn't say a person should sell his real estate v'yashkes asnachaloso and ruin his estate. A person has a estate, they have land, that's something that they keep forever. You have a car, you have a crossbeam, you have expensive items, you can always buy another one. But you can't replace real estate. So the Rashba says that's a different svara, why they didn't make the takana over here. Buy another object. So he'll buy another beam, give him the money, he'll buy another beam somewhere. But to say, I'll pay you for your land, but I need this land. I can't buy the land anywhere else. I got a little sliver of land somewhere else that isn't going to replace the one that I have next to me. So that's the Rashba's chiluk between karka and metalfin. So, and now it seems an open shut case the other way again. Right, even though we said, well, there's a takana of the marish that you don't make someone knock down a house to return a crossbeam, but we just learned that's only when he stole a movable item. But if he stole real estate, either the smaz reason which we didn't understand so much, or the levush's reason, he should have been more careful, or you know, like the levush says that it's something he'll anyway be always be nervous about. He doesn't need a takana by a real estate. Or the Rashba's reason that we don't force the nigzal, the victim, to give up real estate. Whatever the reason is, we don't make this takana, and we should go back to the original halacha that we thought would be the halacha, that if you stole real estate from me, I don't care how much it costs you to get out of it. You have to give it back. I feel bad for you. Of course, if you want to do a favor to the person, you can, you know, make a deal with him. That's certainly nothing wrong with that. But if you want that land, you need that land, so you have a right to say, knock down the building. There's no shayla. However, there's one last wrinkle. The Mavid had a similar shayla, except in his case, the person, the owner, who had built the building, didn't build the building himself. He hired a contractor, like happens very often nowadays. And the contractor is the one that made the mistake. He's just told the contractor, I need an addition over here. Build it 10 feet out. And the contractor went and built it 11 feet out. He thought he'd do him a favor and say, look, you know, the thing's fitting right, so he just made it a little bit bigger. And the contractor made that mistake. So the Mavid says that in a case where it's not the person, and he was talking, he went a chatzi ama, he went a half an ama, 9 inches into the other yard, a foot into the other yard. So the Mavid says, in such a case, since it wasn't his avla, it's only where a person's over lo sasi v'lo reyacha, where the person did the aveira himself, that's where we say there's no takanas marish. But over here, well, he didn't know anything about it. It's the contractor's fault. The contractor was trying to do him a favor, or was just sloppy, and the contractor is the one that messed it up and put the building in the next door. So in that case, the Mavid says the exception to Takanas Morish doesn't apply, and we go back to Takanas Morish and we say we don't force someone to knock down his building in order to return a stolen object, even though in this case the stolen object happens to be real estate. That's what the Mavid says.
I think it was in the States and
then we're going to say,
oh, the contractor did it.
Yes, so, okay. The Mishnah Melach says, like you. The Mishnah Melach says, Ein nirin li devar of klal. That's all he says about it. He quotes the Mavid, and he says, Ein nirin li devar of klal. I don't agree with this at all. Doesn't make any sense. Okay. However, the Shari Mishpat agrees in principle with what the Mishnah Melach is saying. He's saying, you're right, when you're talking about Takanas Marish, you're right. What's the difference if you did it or your contractor did it? However, he invokes another Gemara. The Shari Mishnah invokes another Gemara. Let's see the Gemara in Bava Kama. Pei Aleph on the days. The Gemara is there talking about the different Takanas that Yeshua ben Nun made when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. And after listening, the 10 Takanas Gemara brings another few Takanas that aren't in that list. The Tanya, we learned in Abraisa, Vayishmael ben Asher Yochan ben Broka Omer. Vayishmael, the son of Yochan ben Broka, says, Tanai Bethenu, there's a Tanai Bethen, there's a stipulation of the court, Sheyeheze Yorin Lesotsoda Chaveiro, that in certain cases, a person a beekeeper can go into his friend's field next door, the kotzei socha shel chaveiro, and knock and cut off a branch of his friend's tree, latzil nochel shalo, to save his swarm of bees. The case is that a person is a beekeeper, and all his bees swarmed next door onto a branch. Now, how is he going to get them back into his house? You can't take them one at a time and put them back. So what you have to do is you have to saw off the branch and then very carefully take the branch back into your yard. But it's not your branch. It's your friend's branch next door. So Rabbi Shmuel says that this was a takana also. There's a takana that you can cut off that branch without permission and bring it into your property. Of course, you took his branch, and then you pay him the money. Well, you know, a branch isn't worth too much once in a while.
So I'm saying he's not keeping the branch there. He's not. It's not like a deal where he kept the beam or he keeps the land. This is like a.
Well,
that's why we allow you to do it, maybe, you know, because there you're not really doing the sale. You're not keeping.
You're stealing his branch, and you're stealing it. Now, when you're finished with it, you know, like if someone steals a car, he needs a car. No, he steals a car because he needs to rob a bank. So he stole the car, and he went to rob the bank, and he left the car there because he's finished with the car. So and he crashed it in, right? So he still stole the car, even though he wasn't planning on keeping it because he had his own car. He was stealing his car so he wouldn't find him. Right? He's stealing it even though you don't need it forever. That's still called stealing.
It's not part of your house. It's not part of your. You're not putting it in the bureau. You're not using it.
Okay, well, I didn't get there yet. No, I'm just learning. I'm just saying a Gemara now. I'm not saying Takan is Marish here. I'm telling you, it's a different business here. It's a whole different topic. This Shari Mishnah is bringing this as a whole different heter, Hashavas Aveda heter, not a Takan Hashavim heter. It's a different sugya. So that's one case. Then another case, a similar case, Tanai Bezin is also Tanai Bezin. She is a Shovech Yeno. Umatzel Dushan Shechaveir. Suppose someone has a leak in his barrel of honey. Honey is worth much more than wine. And the honey is all pouring out into the street, and along comes someone walking with a barrel of wine, which is very common. So the takon is, you can pour out his wine and save your honey. The notes of the meyeno mitok dushano shachaveiro, and then pay him for his wine. So that's the Gemara. Now, do we pass him like that Gemara? It's a machlokas we're showing him. The Rosh says we pass him like it because it's also a part of the takanas. However, the Rif and others say since it's not listed among the ten, we don't pass him like it. And it's even a shiloh that even the ten aren't brought in Shulchan Aruch. We mentioned a few years back. But that's a machlokas. The Ramah, Simon Reish Ayin Dalin, brings down this machlokas. Some hold that you're allowed to take the branch in order to save your bees. You're allowed to take the wine in order to sell your honey and pay for the item that you stole. And other Rishonim say not. So Shai Mishpat says, well, that should be Nogay over here also. Even though you want to say there's no Takonis Marish when you steal real estate, and you don't make any difference between whether the contractor did it or you did it. Either way, we're saying there's no takana. There's no takana by karka. It doesn't make a difference if you do it or the other. However, there's another mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda. There's a mitzvah called Hashavas Aveda. I have to give up some of my property. I'll get compensated for it, but there's a takana. I have to give up my property for compensation in order to stop someone from having a large loss. Right, I have to give up my branch in the tree, costs $5, in order to save him $1,000 losses, whole Parnasa. Right, I have to do that. That's Hashavas Aveda. So same thing over here. I should have to give up a little bit of my land to get compensated for it in order to save him from having a major loss of knocking down his building. Are you going to say, well, we just said there's no Takanas Marish, so that's only where the person did it himself. If the person did it himself, so he put the building on that spot. So we learned in the halachas of Hashavas Aveda that if you cause the Aveda yourself, then the person doesn't have to return. That's called Aveda Midas. Right? If you put the building there yourself, so then it's your fault, your problem. You gave it away. It's like we learned you give it to your kids, and that's not Aveda, and that's Aveda Midas. Right? So if you put the building there, the Shari Mishpat says, so then that's why we said there's no Takanas Marish, and that's why the Gaonim said that if someone built the fence over or the building into someone else's property, he has to knock down the building and he has no way out. However, the Mappit says, if the contractor did it, and it wasn't any fault of yours. Okay, maybe you should have been more careful, but you didn't do it. You gave it to a contractor. We do it when we give our contractors out. We don't go out there with a ruler and measure to see everything's right, unless we think maybe you didn't, maybe made it too small or something. But generally, we don't watch every step of the way. We trust them. So in that case, the Shari Mishpat says there should be din hashav as aveda. And if you hold of the rush, according to the rush, there's a din of hashav as aveda in such cases. So the Shari Mishpat says we can mekayin the tshuva samadid according to the rush. The Erev Shai says he doesn't like that svara. The Erev Shai says, he says a few tainas, I have a couple written down here. He says, we'll read it. The Erev Shai says, "Lepiyanias daiti, mikoma kamsarich listar habinyan." I hold that you have to knock down the building, even though the contractor did it. Well, lahafter akarka and return the land. Kimin dimin dina vade yochiyu kadmiyikar din. That's what we said. There's no takanas marish by a theft of real estate. Remind the sphere like the kofin loka tohan. If I, we have the rush who holds that you can force a person to cut down his branch, the lishbach hayayin, and to pour out his wine to save the bees, to save the honey. Who rocked the sphere like the tanai bezdin? That's not because it's a tanai bezdin. But who says it's a tanai bezdin in a case where a person put his property next door, or a contractor built the building next door? That was a takanas bezdin in these cases. But ode, the karka shiny. There's a difference between losing a branch or losing a barrel and losing real estate. Karka is different. The kotz v'tosas, they know the merokel in karka kotz v'shal klal tosas holds right. There's a chance for a kasha that tosas holds people don't usually sell real estate. So mamela, you can make a difference between real estate also and that takana. Even if you want to say, well, takana besin applies across the board, but it, who says it applies to real estate? So that's what the Erev Shai says. The Mishpat Shlomo takes it one step further, and he says, it seems like the Erev Shai is going with the Rashba. Because if you recall, we had two reasons. There were two svaras we had why there might be a difference between karka and metalfalin. The Rashba said the difference is that by metaltalin, we say this, that you're going to lose your metaltalin in order to help the other person do tshuva. So then in that case we say, be a good sport, let him keep the beam and he'll pay you for the beam. He'll help him do tshuva. But the Rashba said, if it's real estate, a person doesn't want to destroy his nachla. A person has a certain estate, that's real estate, that's his real estate, and a person does not have to ruin his nachla to help another person. So the Mishpat Shlomo says that's what the Erev Shai could mean over here also. The Erev Shai is saying that even though there's Hashavas Aveda, that a person gives up a branch, he gives up a barrel to help another person save a lot of money, but when it comes to karka, when it comes to real estate, a person does not have to give up his real estate to help a person have a major savings. And he says, the Mishpat, the Shari Mishpat, who did make a chilek, Shari Mishpat, who said that maybe over here we'll say there's a din of Hashavas Aveda even by karka, that could be because he's going with the svara of the Levush. Because the Levush says, what's the reason we say there's no takanas marish by karka? That has nothing to do with the victim. And that has to do with the robber. We say, oh, the robber in those cases, so it's more likely he'll do tshuva anyway, because it's real estate, we made svaras. Why we want to help him do tshuva, and over here he doesn't need such help. So then when we're talking about the robber, we could say, well, when there's a takanas, maybe we'll make a takanas best in here also to help him out. They shouldn't have a major loss. So then he could say such a svara that if he didn't do it himself, it was a contractor, so we'll make Hashav as a Veda, so he shouldn't have a major loss of property, and we'll allow him to keep the building there. But according to the Rashba svara, the Rashba said it's the victim that we care about. We don't want a victim to lose his real estate. There's no takana we're going to make that a person should lose his estate, which is what he lives off of, which is his whole thing that he'll give over to bequeath to his children, that he doesn't have to lose his karka. So then it shouldn't make a difference whether the person did it himself or his contractors did it. A person doesn't have to give up his property, his real estate, in order to help do Hashav HaZavedo or Atakon HaSashavim. That's the svara of the Mishpat Shlomo explaining the Erev Shai. Pitzchei Choshen adds that even though the Mabit and the Shari Mishpat are makel, they give the guy of a break if it was done by a contractor. He adds that that's only talking, or it was a minor infraction, encroachment over the property. It was a few inches, it was a half an amma, the Mabit's case. But certainly if it would have been a major part of the person's land, something that he could really use, there even the Mabit and the Shari Mishpat wouldn't say it. That's what the Pitzchei Choshen adds in, the Pitzchei Torah also brings such a Svara, Rosh Bitz. So, summing up what we have, we started with saying, of course a person stole property, he has to return it. It's going to cost him a lot of money, too bad. You know, that's the way life is. You are the one who stole. You have to return the stolen property, no matter what it costs. You have to do Hashavas Akzela. We wanted to, though, invoke Takonas Marish. There is such a Svara, such a Takona called, that if a person stole a beam, he's not obligated to knock down his whole building in order to return that beam. He can instead just pay the value for it. So let's say the same thing over here. Let him just pay the value for that little sliver of real estate and knock down the whole building, and not have to knock down the whole building. That's what we said. However, we saw the Rishonim and his Paskin and Shulchan Aruch say, based on the Gaonim even, that the Takonos Marish does not apply to karka. It's not applied to real estate. That's open shut. There's no shaila. That if a person builds on the property next door, if he puts his fence, he went and dug the holes in the ground and put the fence in, and it's 5 inches into the property next door, so there's no Takana Marish. The next door neighbor could say, I want you to move it out. I want the things off my property. This is my property. I'll go up to the border, move it across the border, no matter what it costs. And all the Rishonim say, he has that right to demand that. We saw different svaras in the Rishonim, but they all say, and it's passing by the Ramah without any argument, that he has a right to demand that. Now, is it a good thing to do? I'm not getting into that. Like, if it's really, he doesn't need that little sliver and he's willing to give him money, if he has advice, it's not going to be such a good relationship with your next door neighbor if he's going to have to spend $1 million, rebuilding his house to do it. But okay, we're not asking advice. We're talking, he has halacha, he has a right to force him to get off his property, no matter what it costs. I mean, there's nothing to talk about. The only shy that we have is what happens if he didn't do it himself. It was a contractor that did it. And he wasn't poshea. He didn't tell the contractor to go right up to here, and then the contractor does what he says. He said, look, I have a right to build 4 amas. And he assumes that's what the contractor is doing. And finally, years later, when it's finished, he finds out that he went over a few extra inches. So can we go back to the Takonas Marish or not? So it seemed that everyone agreed, except for the Mabit, that you can't go back to the Takonas Marish. Mishnah Mel says it won't help you. It's karka. Karka, it doesn't apply. The Takonah doesn't apply to real estate. Well, it doesn't matter if you did it, or your shliach did it, or your contractor did it. It doesn't help. You don't have any right to keep that land and just pay for it. However, the Shai Mishpat said, it could be, even though there's no din of Takonas Marish, there's a din of Hashavas Aveda. There's another reason why it could be that you're allowed to keep that building over the land, keep that stolen land and just pay for it. Because of Hashavas Aveda, just like you could keep a branch in order to save your bees. You don't have to lose all your bees for that branch. You can save your honey with a little of some person's wine. It's the same thing. You could be able to save your building with that person's land, sliver of land. So the Shari Mishpat says there'll be such a svara. However, even that, even if you hold like that takana, even if that takana is paskin la halacha, which isn't so sure, the Erev Shai says that takana could only maybe applies only to metaltalin. It only applies to a movable object. But when it comes to real estate, we can go back to the svara of the Rashba, and the Rashba, that's why he understood why the takana doesn't apply to real estate, because a person is not obligated to give up his own estate, his estate that he depends on, his estate that he's going to bequeath to his children. It's a little yachrim nachalos, so he doesn't have to be yashkesas nachalos, so he doesn't have to destroy his estate. So the same thing will apply, that use that svar to say that you won't have to give back an aveda. You won't have to do hashalas aveda with your estate. I'll be willing to give you my barrel, you'll pay me for it. I'll give you my branch, you'll pay me for it. But my real estate that I'll never have anymore, that I'm not obligated to give back. That's the way the Rosh Hashanah says, b'shem the Rosh, but the only thing you have is the Shari Mishpah saying, according to the Rosh, if you hold the Levush's reason that it was a takana to help the person do tshuva, and by land he anyway will do tshuva, so maybe we'll say, and the Tanai Bezin will apply there also, it's not such a solid argument. And then we have Pesachei Choshen to cap it off to say this whole thing, even the Mabit's only saying where it was a little minor infraction into the other yard, but if it'd be a larger infraction, it would certainly everyone would agree that, even the Mabit would agree, there's no such heter to keep it there. So in conclusion, the Mishpat Shlomo paskins without a doubt that the person does have to knock down the building. He doesn't find any heter for him to keep it, and that's his conclusion. Just to point out, I have down the Mishpat Torah, it takes it a step further. No gei hilchos sukkah. We said it is no gei hilchos sukkah. So the same thing would apply. The sukkah would be considered not a sukkah gezula because you're allowed to keep it. You're not mechuyah to knock it down. The shail is whether you can make a bracha. That's a whole issue, which is more a chayim issue, not a choshem mishpat issue. So with that, we'll conclude tonight.